I'm Euro.
I'm Chris.
And this is Fork Bomb. Episode 39, Hotline. Wednesday, January 29th of the year of our Lord, 2024.
The year of our Lord.
The Lord. L-O-T-H.
1024th.
Viridian 3.
All right. Well, after that interesting intro, we're going to talk about Hotline today. And but first of all, Chris, how you doing?
You know, I am doing okay. Life is chill. I am content. And I aims to keep it that way. How are you?
Good, good. Well, I'm certainly felt honored to go to your wedding. That was great. And I knew that I would miss it when you told me about it. I said I would make everything possible to make it happen. And I did. And I brought the entire family. So, yeah. And thanks for inviting me.
Can't thank you enough for being there.
So
friend, do you have a few minutes to talk about our Lord and Savior Hotline?
I do. Let me get my good book out. Good book of notes. So about Hotline Connect, actually. That was the name of the application.
Well,
Hotline Connect.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Let me set the stage before we start going into facts. It's the 90s, the late 90s.
Ooh.
AOL is in full tilt boogie, full swing.
Chris, you have to say it with more tude because it's the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, AOL's going full gnarly, radical, insane, dude. It's like, whoa.
Dude, you're gonna tell.
It's everything is bodacious and tubular. We have AOL, we have CompuServe, we have BBSs on their way out, IRC is a thing. And somehow, you got to experience it, but I totally missed it. This thing called Hotline existed.
It did.
And
I was.
It's like a magical combination of message boards, file downloads, news groups, instant messaging, and chat rooms, all in one really easy package.
It is. Yeah, and I'll go into the little bit about the history about how I got into it. It mostly involves RealPlayer. Yeah, you're absolutely right. This thing was very, very popular back in the late 90s, early 2000s. I'm going to say about mid 2000s, and then it kind of died off. I actually didn't use it in the 90s. I ended up using it in the early 2000s, specifically version 1.8.5. So I know that we messed here with the later version. I think it was 191, 192. But I felt nostalgic about 185, so I kept going back to that one. And it's cosmetic, right? Mainly the logo was different and everything, but that's what I remembered. So that's what I went for. And it's still... Anyway, we'll get into that. But, spoiler alert, it's still around somewhat. Hotline was actually back then, and even I guess now to today, was mainly used for trading files. Just like you said, though, it did offer news groups and chat all in one. It was decentralized, but it did use trackers, so it reminded me a little bit of BitTorrent before BitTorrent became very popular. So this actually did use trackers in order to publish servers. And then you would just, as these trackers would get updated, you'd be able to log into various servers that people had hosted and things like that. So yeah, it was, kind of really neat how you would just, you know, go to a site, download trackers, and then add all the servers from there. Let's talk a little bit about the history, though. So, Hotline Communications, that was the name of the company, actually. But this thing was started by Adam Hinckley, and he was known as Hinks. He created Hotwire, which then became Hotline Connect. It was based on AppWarrior source code, which he actually wrote. Did I mention he's from Australia? So he probably had a gnarly cool accent. and he probably listened to Silverchair.
And he probably had probably had a pet tarantula.
Yep. And he slept inside a kangaroo. I know, for sure. So, six other fellow coworkers joined Adam's efforts to promote the product using the resources of their former employer to market Hotline. I was actually thinking about that when I researched
like that
it.
Would cause some issues later on.
Yeah. I was just thinking that, and funny enough, it actually didn't mention anything about that. So I guess the former company didn't care. But yeah, it's just one of those. And then I kept thinking of that show, Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Remember when? Anyway. Jason Rocks. What a cool last name. Jason Rocks actually convinced Adam Hinckley to move to Toronto and start Hotline Communications LTD. So Hotline was founded in 1997 in Canada and had employees in the US, Australia, probably him. Although he had moved, but I'm sure some of his friends. The main and probably the only product that came out from Hotline Communications LTD was Hotline Client. It had the server communication and also Hotline Connect. It had the client part as well. It received millions of dollars in VC funding.
Wow.
And you know what this is? This was probably just, I mean, it was a good idea, but it was also the late 90s. And so you remember the late 90s with probably VC funding was going wild with anything that had to do with the internet. And this, of course, had to do with the internet. He also probably had a webpage, and the webpage had probably GIFs and under construction signs. I kid, but back then you had a website, you had any sort of plan, and I think you received funding automatically. Hotline Connect served millions of users and was published in computer magazines and newspapers, such as Wired, I believe, had a few articles, Macworld. There was quite a lot of buzz, keyword, from back then about Hotline Connect. There was a bit of drama though that happened.
Can I get into this part?
Yeah, of course.
Drama. Shortly after he moved to Canada, after Hinckley moved to Canada, he got into a major disagreement with his coworkers, not sure what about, and he left Hotline. Kind of a dick move on his part, though. He encrypted the source files for Hotline on Hotline Communications servers, which crippled the company. Hotline Communications and Red Rock took exception to this and in turn sued Hinckley. And he lost the copyright to his AppWare library and Hotline. But this garnered Hinckley some sympathy with internet users, which viewed Hotline Connect in a poor light. And then Hotline Connect quickly attracted an underground wares scene due to ease of use compared to, say, IRC, which honestly, all of my downloading was done on IRC. If I had known about Hotline, ooh-wee. but at its peak, there were thousands of servers hosting pornography, pirated software, MP3s. They were protected by passwords, which could be found by following instructions to go to a website, click on an ad to obtain the password. The server admins would then earn money per click, and they would in return offer pirated software, music, movies, porn, etc. to users. I did not know that.
Yeah.
But by the end of the 90s, Hotline Connect was losing popularity to peer-to-peer systems such as Kazaa and Nutella. Hotline Communications went out of business in 2001 due to lost funding. The equipment was purchased by Hot Springs, Inc. and has since abandoned development. And the last version of Hotline Connect was in 2003. But somehow, HLTracker.com continues to provide services to this day. I would love to know how. Like, did someone buy the domain and set up a Hotline Tracker? There are multiple Hotline Trackers out there, but HLTracker.com, the main one that the application is designed to use, you can download it now. It will register with HLTracker.com, and it will work. There are still servers out there.
That was a genius move on whoever either bought the domain or if it was one of the original users. My guess, I didn't do research on HL Tracker, but my guess is it was probably either one of the original founders who already had the domain, or if he let it expire, somebody bought it and decided that they were going to use that domain. The genius thing about that is when you install the application, it already uses HLTracker.com. So the great thing is that as soon as you install it, it's using HL Tracker. You can already find servers. So nice move on whoever bought that domain, or if it was always kept under the same user, then I'm glad that the tracker services still work to this day. We did try to contact Hinckley. I was actually hoping that we could bring him on this episode, and maybe he'll listen to this. I don't know. Who knows, right? But and then reach out to us, please, Mr. Hinckley, if you can, reach out to us, and we'll gladly have you on the show.
If one of our five listeners happens to know Adam Hinckley,
he is one of our five. So Hotline actually did win a few awards, multiple categories. Hotline won awards such as Best of Show with the Boston Macworld Expo, accolades in computer magazines. They had the Golden Mouse Award for Macworld Sweden, Best Kept Secrets from the Internet, according to LA Times. And Wired Magazine wrote a short article in the September 97 issue. So, it was getting traction. So it's kind of unfortunate the way that it ended, and pretty quickly after the dot-com bubble burst and everything. But it lives on, and that's good. I was just kind of I wish it had more traction.
Yeah.
Do you want to go over the Hotline product?
Sure. This is obviously an audio podcast, but I would love to attempt to describe what it looks like. I have it up in front of me on my iMac G3 running OS 9, running Hotline Client 1.9.2. Now, it's actually a good thing that you prefer the 1.8 client, because it's possible to change the graphical banner. And I want to try that with you later, because my server actually has the options. Yes, I'm running my own server because reasons. When you start Hotline, the first thing that you see is a list of servers. And those servers are listed under what's called a tracker. So when you set up a server, you tell it which tracker you want to register it with, and you just get a lovely little list. You double click, and you're immediately logged in. You have it's a whole bunch of windows just everywhere stacked on top of each other. There's one window that is persistent that you can never get rid of. It's the main navigation for the program. It's the, I'll call it the Hotline banner window. So that has a big picture. In my case, mine says Hotline 1.9. It's big, it's orange. It's in the way, honestly. And it's also has the URL for hotspringsinc.com. But from under the banner, it gives you little square buttons for options, servers, users, public chat, news, message board, files, the main event, tasks. Tasks are like file downloads. Broadcast, if you want to broadcast all users at once. New account, open account, and administer accounts. Also disconnect, about, help, and quit. When you connect to a server, every one of those options opens up in a different window. The list of online users, separate window. The message board, separate window. The chat room, separate window. The news, separate window, just windows everywhere. But you can close and open them as you see fit. So if you're only interested in files, you can open just the files download window. If you only want to talk, you can open just the chat window. It's dead, stupid, simple. It's one of the easiest products I have ever used, then and now. You simply connect and you do the things that it lets you do. You browse files, you download the files. There's nothing to it. There's barely anything to talk about client side. What I'm enjoying is running my own server. And there are people that are still maintaining servers to this day, either via the original server software, or in my case, I'm running a product called Mobius, which is a hotline server written in the Go programming language that runs on Unix and Linux. So I'm running it on a Raspberry Pi, which is running on just stock Raspbian. And it was really easy to set up. The person that developed it did a fantastic job of it. So right now I'm serving up 69 gigabytes of PowerPC and 68K software, mostly just stuff I downloaded off the garden. And the server name is Pipe2grep. So if you go to open up a hotline client, go to HL Tracker, or there are like five other trackers that I'm on, it'll be right there. So, you know, come on by, say hello, download some files. If you happen to catch me on, let's have a chat.
Chances are that you'll be able to see Chris's server just by clicking on featured servers. If you click on the dropdown, you'll see his server listed. So incredibly easy. And yeah, it's I'm glad you're doing it. That's great. You know, keeping the community alive and everything. There's also a Windows client, which I actually used back then, more than the Mac client. Mac was now. But you know what was interesting about the Windows client? It is it looked almost the exact same as the Mac client, which isn't a bad thing. And the Mac client resembles OS 9. The interface resembles OS 9. The directories resemble OS 9.
Oh, yeah, because it's carbonized.
Right. Yeah, and they took that same design and brought it to Windows. So that was kind of interesting. So you could also run a Windows Hotline server. And of course, you know, the new version that you have now, that's still maintained. So it's still active. I don't know how active the community is,
not very.
But I'm glad it's still alive.
It's a tiny, tiny shell of what it once was, but
right.
It's neat to see. It's actually neat running the Mobius server though, because on the back end, it's neat to see how it works. When you post news, it's dumping all that into just a flat YAML file. Same for chats, message boards. There's like no database. It's all text.
Yeah. That's, well, what was that one that you showed me? It looked like all ASCII. Like the, yeah, that was really cool.
And Mobius actually has the ability to change the banner image, but it only works for 1.a clients, so we'll have to try that out.
Hmm. Sounds good. Well, there's also another tracker that's still alive, and that's tracker.perturhunen.net, which actually went to their site. They do have a wiki, and they actually talk about quite a bit of things about retro computing. So that was pretty cool. Feel free, anybody, to check it out. wiki.perturhunen.net. And you can find the client and server there as well.
Actually, looking at the config for Mobius, there are four trackers, at least that Mobius registers with. There is HL Tracker, which we talked about, tracker.perturhunen.net, which you just mentioned, saddle.dyndns.org, and hotline.kicks-ass.net.
Very cool. Well, I'm glad it comes like that straight out of the box.
Yep. So those are the four trackers that I have registered with.
You will get one other person on there.
If one person comes by and just says a hello on the message board, I will be happy. Someone tried on the MacRumors forums, but they missed. Instead of going to the message board, they went to news, and I turned off news posting. And it said, you can't post news. And they're like, well, I tried. Bye.
Oh, man.
But they left me a screenshot showing that, so that was cute.
Let's talk a little bit about like our likes and dislikes of the product.
Okay.
So I had some likes that I took down or wrote down. One was I really liked the decentralized nature of it.
Oh yeah.
It feels how do I put it? It feels like what the internet was intended to be. You know, decentralized, free, do whatever you want. This has that, and it's hard to explain, but it's there's this nature of it's hard to control, right? Because anybody could put up a server, and
anybody can put up like a tracker too.
Anybody could put up a tracker. It's like anybody could put up a website. You know, it has that early decentralized free spirit of the internet, and I also like that the community, although small, it's still kept to this day. And that's been a common theme throughout our podcast. If, you know, now that I realize that, you know, we're at episode 39, so almost 40 episodes. We've been doing this for years now. And I feel like a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about still has communities today. And this is no exception. This is yet another one of those that people are still passionate about. And I'm very happy that it's still, you know, every time that we're going to go talk about something, hey, guess what? There's still a community day. So that's been really cool to see over the years. And of course, the last one, super easy to set up, right? There's hardly anything technical really that you have to figure out on how to do this. I could probably get my grandma to do it. Yeah, not difficult at all. I had some dislikes, but they're understandable. But I still had some dislikes, you know. And that's the lack of security. You know, a password, yeah, but, you
know. It's sent in the clear. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's sent in the clear. I would prefer if traffic were, of course, encrypted, sent over a tunnel. You know, I prefer to use certificates and things like that. What can you do? This was back then, late 90s, early 2000s. People weren't really worried about that. It was the Wild West, and this shows. And yeah, so if you're using it today, just know everything you send is unencrypted, and your traffic can definitely be intercepted. So just keep that in mind.
But also know that the people that work at your ISP have never heard of Hotline and won't be looking for it.
They'll think it's porn. Which part of it could be. And then of course I wish that the client development had continued. The server part seems to have gone on, and whatever ASCII thing you showed me.
The command line client that comes with Mobius. The Mad Lad that was really cool. Also made a command line based TUI, terminal user interface. So it has fake windows, but it's all in the shell. Like you can SSH into a server and run a Hotline client. It's so cool.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, I wish that the client had been developed more throughout the years and that somebody had picked it up, you know, and just kind of ran with it. I would do it if I had more skills or if I really, 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 really wanted to. But hey, who knows? Maybe somebody might. Either way, I kind of wish that there would be more client development, maybe adding some of that security to it. That would be fantastic. That's about it. How about yours? Do you have any different likes and dislikes?
I have all the same likes. The dislikes, I don't care about the security. If you're playing with 90s tech, you don't care about security.
I still use Windows 98, and I surf the internet with Internet Explorer, what is it, 6?
Pants down, balls flapping in the breeze.
Woo-wee! And do my banking on it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that the only thing I don't like is just how small it is. There's no, like, people are putting the servers up just because, and but they're not sticking around. I want to have a conversation with someone on Hotline. I want to have people in chat rooms on Hotline. I mean, there was a time when chatting was novel.
Yeah.
Now, if it's not Discord or Twitch and we're not posting animated GIFs and emojis, it's no one wants to bother. So I guess the only thing that I don't like about it is, one, its interface is just a whole bunch of windows. It could be a bit more unified. But two, I don't know. I just don't like that I missed out on it. I have serious FOMO. I was like, dude, I found this thing called Hotline. And you were like, yeah, man, I know. I was there.
I was there. Gandalf 3,000 years ago. Reference to Lord of the Rings, of course.
Obvious.
First movie. So I want to go back to that whole getting the password from sites that had, you know, monetization, pay-per-click kind of thing. I did run into that quite a bit.
Yeah?
So what would happen was
Tell me about your entire experience with Hotline back in the day.
Sure. So I had a buddy in... I had a buddy in high school that he had a Quadra Mac, I believe. I'm not sure which one, but it was running OS 8, and he had Hotline. I guess it was just very common on the Mac, and Mac users knew about Hotline. And I came from the Windows side, but going to his house, he had the Mac, and so he showed me Hotline, and of course it ran on Windows and all that stuff. I wanted to watch some shows, and back then, I don't know if you remember, but the real media files were pretty small, and we're talking about 56K internet, so, you know, to download a, what was it, gosh, like a 9 to 10 to 20 megabyte max file would have the entire show. You're talking about 30 minutes, but it looked awful. It was pixelated. You know, you drag the screen, you try to full screen it. It looked awful, but it was good enough for me. And I didn't want to spend my entire life downloading a single episode of anything, especially with 56K internet. And so Real Media was it. And so there were servers out there serving files in Real Media. And that's what my buddy told me about. He introduced me to Hotline. That's when I started using that 1.8.5 version. When you would go to one of these sites, the first thing you would see is a disclaimer. And I think it's made there, you know, everything in here is for educational purposes only, blah, 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 and everything. But these server admins would have instructions on how to get the password that they had put for the day or for the week or whatever to enter, because you could password protect the server. So in the instructions there, it would tell you to go to some pay-per-click site and click and then do this and do that and then find whatever word on the fourth sentence or something. And, you know, you would copy and paste that word and that was the password. And, you know, it was shady, but what can you do? It was, you know, that's how you got stuff back then. I don't know how much these server admins were making per click. My guess is probably 10 cents or less per click. Maybe even 1 cent, 10 cents. Wow. That sounds like a lot, but yeah, it could have been 10 cents. I don't know. Anyway, pay-per-clicks were probably in the cents, for sure. They were in the cents. And so I don't know how much they were making, probably, you know, 20 bucks a month or something like that out of pay-per-clicks. But maybe the popular ones did a lot better. A few hundred dollars. I can't imagine it being in the thousands, but who knows? Maybe very popular ones. And yeah, I mean, you found everything, you know, and most of the sites were serving porn. So there's that. And most of the porn came in, like, porn, of course, shows and everything, although I preferred the Real Media format because of its size. They also had some stuff in MOV files, so that would be a QuickTime files as well. And that's what I remember from back then. It was very popular. Lots and lots of servers. This thing is, it is nothing compared to how it is today. This thing was, had exploded back then, and there was stuff for anything. And so these servers would be called whatever they were serving. So it would be like, you know, Hank's MP3 da 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 hangout. You know, and so that's how you would find out, oh, okay, this one has this or that. Hank's Dragon Ball / Golden Girls / you know, whatever, whatever, you know, warehouse. And then they would, of course, you click on it and, of course, had that disclaimer. So, yeah, that's a little bit about Hotline and how it was used.
So, mostly for porn.
Mostly for porn. 56K was a rough time, but real media really helped.
And, yeah, for porn. And so did CRT monitors.
CRTs were... Why do you say that?
Because lower resolution stuff looked better on a CRT.
It did. It wasn't so pixelated.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't so crisp. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
Which was good for back then. Yeah. So how about you? How did you first hear about Hotline, Chris?
I stumbled across a website called altexanet.org. altexanet.org. And it's... The whole purpose of the site is to give a glimpse into the internet of the 90s. So the website is using only basic HTML. They have a Usenet server, IRC server, Gopher server, FTP server, and a Hotline server. So I was like, yeah, this is cool, whatever. I know that one of these sites, but then I saw Hotline and had no idea what it was. Clicked on it and went from there. What's neat about altexanet.org is the exact same text and files appear on all of their servers. So you can get the same thing from the FTP server, from the Gopher server, from the Hotline server, from the IRC server, from the Usenet server. It's neat. And that's how I found it.
Very cool. I was very surprised when you asked me if I had heard of Hotline, and I was like, holy crap, I haven't thought about Hotline in forever. Yeah, which I totally didn't get anything bad or anything like that. Everything was awesome. Backthenrule.com.
Everything was awesome. Backthenrule.com.
Have you ever heard of Caracho?
Only I've heard of it because you mentioned it to me, but I haven't looked it up yet. Can you tell me about it?
It is very similar to, and I didn't use it, and I still haven't used it much. I installed it, clicked around. I'm nostalgic for Hotline, so that's what I used. But it seemed to be very similar, and a lot of people were moving to Caracho back then. You know how you had mentioned about Adam Hinckley having kind of the internet sympathy? You know, back then that was like a real thing. I don't know if you remember, like, you know, stars back then, on the internet stars. I'm talking about, like, Kevin Mitnick, you know, like...
Developers could be stars. Game developers could be stars.
That's right. This guy's still around. Chris, oh, man, I'm going to destroy his last name. Brzezinski? I don't know. Lipinski? Oh, man. I'm sorry, Chris, if you're watching this. The guy that created the Unreal Engine, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is going to bother me. I'm going to look it up when we're done. Him and, of course, John Carmack. So anyway, you had some internet people that were famous back then, you know? And so this guy, Adam Hinckley, must have grown some sort of fame. And so it garnered a lot of internet user sympathy. And so when he left the project, people left the project. And so, you know, Caracho, I believe, was a German company that started it. And you could still find the client and things like that online to use. But yeah, so that garnered some sympathy. People fled to it, you know, to Caracho after, of course, you know, Kazaa, Nutella, that whole LimeWire thing, BearShare. I don't know if you remember all that stuff. Where you get about a million pop-ups if you installed anything, and viruses were prevalent. But, you know, out of that whole thing, you know, that's where you had some of these come out.
Right.
Caracho, though, I believe it was a parallel to Hotline. So I think Caracho may have come out in 98, I think. So, you know, parallel to that. But yeah. So that's kind of what happened.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to give it a look. I'll have to give it a look next. See if there's a modern Caracho server I can host.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
My goal is to load as many retro services on this Raspberry Pi as I can. Next one is an Oscar server, so we can connect our AOL Instant Messenger clients to it.
Oh, we got to do it. You'll be a legend, Chris, if you get it to work. Ah. Well, I was going to ask you a little bit about Mobius. I think, but you already talked quite a bit about it.
It's a Hotline server written in Go. It's I'll put the URL in the notes, but let's see. Hotline server GitHub. GitHub.com/jhalter, /Mobius. It's still very active. The last commit was yesterday. Actually, he accepted. I contributed to the project because the developer has a Docker file, and so I fixed the Docker file in that it ran everything as root, which you shouldn't do. So I set it up to where it runs as its own dedicated user. And I also created a Docker Compose file for ease of deploying it somewhere else. And the developer, what is his name? Jeff Halter. He saw my pull request and immediately merged them. I was like, hey, man, thanks.
That's so cool.
So it's fun getting to contribute to stuff like that.
I'm sure he appreciated it, and the entire 5 Hotline community members that right? are running their servers appreciate it too.
It looks like there are 5 contributors to Mobius, mostly Jay Halter, with a few others just, you know, PRs here and there, but
yeah,
it's a one-man show for sure.
So that guy... His name is not Chris. It's I knew it started with a C. It's Cliff. So it's Cliff Blazinski. And if you look him up, he's actually known as the Dane Cook of gaming. And he worked at Epic Games from 1992 to 2012. So I remember seeing this guy on like ZDTV and then G4, you know, and all that stuff. He was like, you know, he's famous, you know. But anyway, I want to make sure that I got that right. And, he's actually known as Cliffy B. Yeah.
He was there before Epic Games became a gigantic piece of shit like most other large gaming companies are these days. Loot boxes, microtransactions, dedicated stores where that you can only get their content through.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I do have early Epic Games to thank for a few games actually.
Yep.
My favorite of the early Epic Games, and by the way, Epic Games were always known, at least to me, every time that I was going to install an Epic Game game, which usually back then came in shareware, was for the sound. Way more than the graphics, it was for the sound. They had amazing sound engineers, Epic Games. I remember Epic Pinball was my favorite game to play, mostly because of the sound.
That was one that supported the Gus, right?
Maybe the Gravis ultrasound. Huh? Yeah, I think so. Roland, maybe? I am not sure. But I do remember it supporting quite a few sound cards. You know, the usual Adlib and Sound Blaster clones, Sound Blaster Pro 16, all that stuff. But it might have supported Gus.
Oh, dude, have you heard about the Pico Gus?
No, is that some sort of small
Oh man.
Gus, for now.
Oh man. Oh man.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a new card. It costs $45. Mm-hmm. Brand new PCB. You get a Raspberry Pi Pico. You plug it into the card. It's an ISA sound card with a Raspberry Pi Pico on it that emulates all the sound cards. It emulates the Gus. It emulates Adlib, Tandy 3 voice, Disney whatever blaster. They're adding
the Disney Sound Machine,
generic Sound Blaster Sound. 16 support, and it's Phil's Computer Lab has his most recent video is of that. Go.
Was that very cool?
Go check it out. But it's a Raspberry Pi Pico, and the firmware emulates the sound cards.
So DOS has no problems detecting it as that sound card. To DOS, it doesn't know.
Yeah,
so
it doesn't know.
The driver's just, okay.
Yeah.
What does it do about the wavetable and sound fonts, things like that? Does it just load it to its own Raspberry Pi memory? That's pretty cool.
Completely emulates a Gus.
Hmm.
Or whatever sound card you set it up to be. It's brilliant. It's a huge boon to retro enthusiasts. Because, I mean, buying a Gus, an original Gus, forget it.
Yeah, I know. There was a project, it may still be going on, I need to look it up, on you could convert, I think it was PCI Express to ISA, and then you can run an ISA sound card.
Are you talking about the software Sound Blaster emulation thing?
Hardware.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. You would connect it to your motherboard. Your motherboard had to support something, though. I forgot what it was. It had to support some sort of bridge that Intel had made, and it's possible that newer motherboards don't support that anymore. I have to do more digging into this, but I remember seeing somebody connect an ISA sound card to a PCI Express bus. That was neat. Neat to see. I mean, hey, that opens up a lot of possibilities.
True.
For people collecting in the retro community, but I don't see it becoming, or I haven't seen it become too popular. So I'm not sure if it's too new or if it's because the motherboards don't come with that extra Intel bridge that I can't think of the name right now. I think it starts with an L. Anyway, there was that. That and I was planning on building a new retro machine, and by new I mean old, but using PCI Express. So I found modified NVIDIA drivers and Vogons to use NVIDIA's 8800 GTX, which was a legendary card back in the Windows XP and Windows Vista days. It ran DirectX 10, but it was PCI Express. Well, somebody modified the NVIDIA drivers for Windows 98 and included in the info file, it included those video cards. And so I wanted to build a Windows 98 machine. And if you build a Windows 98 machine with the PCI Express 8800, I don't know, but something tells me those games are going to either run like ass or they're going to run really great. So I wanted to try it. So there was that. And also, too, there are Sound Blaster Live DOS drivers in Vogon. And that is a PCI card. Oh, and I happen to have one. Yeah, so I wanted to get an old machine that was all PCI, just old PCI 33 megahertz, and would happen to have a PCI Express card. So I was shopping around for a Dell XPS Gen 5. Or even a Gen 6 for one of those. They happen to have that combination just to try it, you know, and see how DOS would work and what would happen in, you know, Windows 98 games with all this crazy hardware that is definitely overkill.
Well, when you do get it, be sure you install the Hotline client on it.
For Windows.
Yes, because that is what this podcast is about. And I think we've said all we can say about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, what else can we say? I mean, you know, it's really cool. People should check it out.
Yeah.
It's out there.
It's
go
lost.
To, go to Chris's server.
It's lost, but it still exists. There's actually a bunch out there. There's all of 1 to 0 to 1 people in every one of them, but you know, maybe you'll get to say hi to someone. They're all serving in files. Part of the experience that I, part of my experience playing with it was I pulled out my 1994 PowerBook 540C, and I downloaded a game off a hotline, installed it, had fun.
What are the chances that this podcast will make it popular again? We'll bring it back.
You know what I am? you know what I think I will do? I will make all of our podcast episodes available through Hotline.
That'd be good. That'd be great. And we should delete them all from everywhere else.
Yes.
And just point people to a Hotline server. Yep. Well, that's all I have to say about Hotline.
That's all I got to say about that, too.
All right. Well, it's been good.
Well, thanks for hanging out with me on Hotline. It was a heckin' hell of a time, and yeah.
Likewise. All right, Chris. Well, you have a good night.
You have a good night, too. We're going to pretend like we're, you know, not going to talk after this, but we're just going to stop the recording. So, good night.
We're totally going to mess with Hotline. Good night.
Good night.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Oh, I've got to poop.
I was just thinking that.